At his core, he's an educator. His purpose, to guide and lead those seeking personal growth and accomplishment. Recognizing an opportunity to have a significant impact, he modified a 22-year trajectory in conventional education to bring his skill set to guide and inspire entrepreneurs through the opportunity of real estate. My guest on Think Underground is top 1% real estate producer in Central Florida and leader of the Kendrick team at eXp Realty in Orlando, Florida area, Kevin Kendrick. Kevin, welcome underground.
Hey, well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and looking forward to sharing more about what we do.
This is Think Underground. Insightful and intelligent conversation with entrepreneurial giants, impact leaders, and titans. Coming up next on Think Underground.
Absolutely. I'm thankful for the time that you're able to share with us. I have a personal passion in the real estate field. I absolutely love the opportunity of real estate. I absolutely love watching really as economies shift and as we go through different cycles within the economy to recognize that there's always an opportunity for those who are well prepared. But let's get to that in just a second. Let's get into this pretty significant shift that you did from spending really over half of what would consider a normal career, a span of a career in conventional education. You've been a teacher, a vice principal, a principal, a dean, et cetera. And here you are going into real estate. Tell me about that move.
So when I graduated from high school, I grew up in Orlando. With the high school in Orlando, I always wanted to be a teacher. And really, it was probably my second or third year as a teacher that I realized I had an opportunity to get my master's degree, which, of course, for teachers, you make more money. And then I just kind of realized, you know, hey, I kind of like this. This path for leadership. And so eventually became an assistant or dean, assistant principal, principal. And it was actually when I was a principal that another teacher friend of mine who started, we started in 1996 together, he got his real estate license and he was crushing it in the area where I was the principal at. And I was referring him business and he would make donations back to the school. And, you know, eventually he said, hey, you know, if you get your license, I can actually make the donation back to you. It's called a referral fee. And so so I started doing referral fees with him. I got my license and eventually I went back into the classroom to teach so I could also do real estate because teaching was more of a 40 to 50 hour a week job. Being a principal was more of a 70 to 80 hour a week job. And so I went back in the classroom so I could do real estate. And that was 2010 to about 2014. End of 2014, I joined Keller Williams, which is a global real estate brokerage. And, you know, joining Keller Williams literally changed my life because in 2015, I equaled my teaching salary. And in 2016, the business took off and we've been doing extremely well ever since. So
that's and it's an interesting trajectory that you talk about there. I've done a little bit of reading. I looked at your bio, you know, I checked you out a little bit, and it made me want to speak with you more because I love speaking with people who recognize that there's an opportunity to not only have personal fulfillment, personal reward, personal accomplishment, but to also actually have an impact with others. And it sounds to me like you didn't exactly abandon that thing that you did earlier on in your career, which was have an influence on the minds of others to help them grow and shape themselves and seek their own accomplishment. You just sort of shifted the venue at which you're doing that. Give me an idea of what's changed in working with, if you will, the youngsters, the youth, to mm-hmm. working with people who have had some time to have a little bit of life experience, to have had some time to go through the system where you're, in my opinion, and I'm just going to project that out there, you're kind of shaped and guided and have some bumpers set up on what you're allowed to share mm-hmm. versus working with adults who are ready to grow, you know, and are seeking that.
Yeah. When I taught, it was not, in the public school system, it was not as regimented as it is today. You know, now it's about standardized testing and you have to teach to the test. And it's really taken a lot of the creativity out. I started teaching in 1996. And so I really enjoyed that aspect. And I still, in the real estate world, I still consider myself a teacher. We're very transparent with the ideas. When I was at Keller Williams, I would teach on a regular basis at multiple brokerages where I would share the best practices that we've learned that work for us to help apply to other people's businesses. And then, of course, we made the switch to eXp Realty about 18 months ago and still having the opportunity to continue to share and continue to teach. And so having that working with adults, especially in the real estate world, they're coming because they want to learn. You know, they want to, because for many of them, their livelihood depends on it. Not that what I'm teaching, their livelihood depends on it. But, you know, if you can take something that I share with you and that generates income for you, you're going to do it again. And we're big believers that we believe in community over competition. So I don't view the real estate agents in my region as my competitors. But I do view them as we have a real estate community. So we want to help everyone grow together. Real estate agents, you know, at least maybe in Central Florida area, whether they have a good reputation or not, we know that there's a lot of agents out there that lack integrity, they lack communication, they lack the skill set. So if we're able to go out there and share with others what we do and how we do it, and if that inspires them to be better, then hopefully that makes our profession look better, in the Central Florida area when it comes to real estate agents. And so that's why we do what we do. We love teaching. We love still continuing to share with others what we do and why we do it. And we know a lot of real estate agents that have applied what they've learned from us, and they're making a healthy six figures doing it. So, and that makes us happy.
Yeah, I want to touch on that point a little bit. I think to some who might hear what you just said, that could sound like a foreign concept. But, mm-hmm. And it's interesting, but there's so much truth to that. And I'm glad you touched on that, and I'm glad you went there. Absolutely 100% fact. You've got 168 hours in your week, just like I do. Mm-hmm. And so you as an individual at a 1X ability have only so much potential, only so much capacity to engage in a trade or a transaction, to meet with your clients, to go out and do the research, to do the listening, to do the marketing, whatever it may be. You've got 168 hours in your week. Mm-hmm. What you do with those 168 hours is a totally different story. So as you talk about, there are a lot of there in every industry, there are great actors and there are not so great actors. And there are yep. those who have phenomenal integrity and those who don't have such phenomenal integrity. But what we do know as well is that, unfortunately, bad news travels a heck of a lot faster than the good news does. Mm-hmm. And so when there is a bad actor in there, you call it the apple in the bushel that spoils the whole bushel. It creates a negative sort of pressure on the industry as a whole. So I love that you went there and you're talking about the fact that if we can give away, if we can have a positive influence and educate and help people to perform better, it makes the whole industry perform better. So talk to me about, though, you've gone from, in a pretty short period of time, from being an agent yourself doing your own trades. I'm not suggesting you're not doing your own trades right now, but to building a team of people as well. Talk to me how that actually has a positive impact.
Yeah. So ultimately, you can only do so much, to your point. There's only so many hours in a day. There's only so many hours in a week. And, you know, we grew our business to the point where I needed help. And because you just can't continue to do it. So, you know, last year we sold 150 homes. Well, I'm sure there's people out there who can sell 150 homes in a year on their own. I'm not one of them. Not only can I probably not do it, I don't want to work 20 hours a day to sell 155 homes. But what I can do is I can leverage the business that we've built, and now we can help change other people's lives. You know, my top agent on my team, he made $500,000 the last 2 years. And, you know, he's a rock star. He's a superstar. And I've got three or four other agents on my team that made six figures last year. And you know, but they do that because when people call, it gives me the opportunity, you know, to give them business. And then, of course, we split the proceeds. And so it's leverage and that's how we're going to grow our business is through leverage. And it's no different than any other major business that we see out there is they have to continue to hire and add. And for us, as long as, you know, at the end of the day, we're in a business, so we want to remain profitable. And so as long as we're profitable, then I can continue to give business away. What that does for me and my family is in August, we're going to be empty nesters. And so, you know, tomorrow I was supposed to fly to New York City, but the fires in Canada have kind of put a little damper on that. But it's going to give my wife and I the opportunity to travel if we want to travel, or we can go to the beach if we want to go to the beach, and not necessarily worry about 50, 60 clients who want to go look at homes on the same day, because we can't do that. That's where the leverage and the team comes in. So we've just been very blessed that as our business has grown, we have agents that want to work with us. We want to see them grow their business, but we also want to see them grow personally. We want them to be good family members first. Business is not, it's God, family, business, where we do not put business in front of our family. And, you know, yesterday we took our team, we had a fun day because fun is one of our core values. And we did what's called the Winter Park Boat Tour in Orlando. And we went and looked at $15 million homes off of a chain of lakes. And we did that as a team. We had our own boat. And then we went to downtown Winter Park, which is a suburb of Orlando. And we had lunch together. And we laughed and a few tears were shed. And but it was a good day to just get away from real estate for 3 or 4 hours so we could focus on ourselves as a team.
I love it. And I love the story as you're painting the picture there. I'm actually on the journey with you. I had the great pleasure of being in Winter Park probably in January, I think it was. And what a phenomenal, a beautiful, beautiful community.
Amazing.
Absolutely. And it's definitely on the bucket list as we were, my partner and I were looking at some areas in the regions, et cetera. So it's definitely on the list there. But I'm also glad you went in a direction of talking about, you know, sort of your priorities in life, and the personal development absolutely is one thing. And sometimes we, being so deep in the weeds, if you will, lose track of some perspective. Now, and you referenced that one of your top agents on your team hit about the $500,000 mark in annual revenue, which is phenomenal. Put things into perspective for me just a little bit. The average household income in the state of Florida, plus or minus a few, is?
If we're going the entire state of Florida, I'd probably say close to 50, 60,000. The area that I live, Lake Nona, which is a suburb of Orlando, we're probably talking just over 100,000.
Yeah. So just again, putting things in perspective, that is a massively wild accomplishment, which is great to hit that $500,000 mark. But what I did hear you as well, and you touched on Lake Nona, also another beautiful area. I know you're also very passionate about not only community, but your faith and religion and your church community as well. And that is that how you measure, how one measures success can shift as we go through different stages in our lives. And so you talked about the fact, obviously, you've made a very good income and lifestyle for yourself, but you've recognized as a family, your wife, I believe, is your partner in business, but beyond partner in business, she's your partner in life. And you've reprioritized. You've reprioritized, but through that, you've been able to give other people the opportunity. So I'm kind of interested in personal development, human behavior, our ability as humans to grow our understanding of what it is to be successful. And it's weird to talk about that with a realtor, but you've actually accomplished that with your team. Maybe dive into that a little bit on the journey of personal development for me.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, I would put money that probably 80% of real estate agents, if not more, don't have a real estate coach. So I do think that, you know, we should all be coached in some capacity. And in our team, we've offered one-on-one real estate coaching. We've shifted just recently to group coaching, but we're actually going to offer both when we get into the fall. And I'm actually going to do the one-on-one coaching, and we have someone on our team that does the group coaching. but we also want to bring people of value to our team. You know, so we have outsiders come in. In fact, I was at a restaurant the other night, a local restaurant, and it's a gentleman who's opened up his third restaurant in, or actually it's his fourth restaurant in the community. Three of them are different. One's a Mexican, one is a taco, and the other one's Peruvian. And he was sharing his story with us. And I've known the owner, Florencio, for 4 or 5 years now. And I told him, I said, you've got to come speak to our team, because his work leading to, he probably owns 10 plus restaurants in Orlando. He franchised his taco place to over 60 franchisees. And he's telling us his story about how he grew up and what drove him to success. And I'm like, you need to be speaking at our team meeting, because our agents need to hear your story and how you got driven to success. And so, it's not uncommon for us to have people that aren't in the real estate realm speak to our team. And I'm okay with that, because it's not always about real estate. And I know I shared with you earlier, this year we hired a John Maxwell coach, Dr. Linda Travolo. She speaks to our team once a quarter. And to me, it's just as much as our team learning about leadership skills that they can apply to life. But they can also apply to their family. They can apply that to their children. And the so it's more than just helping people buy and sell homes. And I think the one thing, kind of like when we were talking about the Winter Park Boat Tour, we want our team to have fun. Real estate should be fun. But we also want them, everyone, to grow and to expand, because, you know, we don't want to be the same person today that or tomorrow that we are today. You know, we want to grow. You know, what's that one nugget that can help us grow? So my wife, one of the things that she does is she's the mama bear on the team. And she'll sit down and she sits down with our agents and she has heart-to-heart conversations. And most of the times, that does not involve real estate. Majority of the times, that's what's going on in the heart and what's going on in your life, because she wants to get down to the nitty-gritty. She wants to ask tough questions that most people just want to ask that surface level. How are you doing? Oh, you're good? Okay, awesome. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And she dives deep. And that's important.
And this is what I enjoyed hearing from you. And you talk about, really, there's a sense of purpose. There's what we do, mm-hmm. and then there's the why we do it. And how do you measure the value and the impact of your existence during our time here on the planet? Mm. You know, it's not just, as you said, the transaction itself.
Yeah. And we've, our whole business, you know, we've always used the hashtag. We've used two hashtags since day one: relationships matter and community matters. And we've used those two hashtags because we've always been very community based. But real estate's very transactional. It's you buy a house, you sign a contract. We show you homes, we get to know you during the process. But once the transaction's over, I would venture to say 90% plus of the real estate agents in the world, they shake the hand and they never talk to that person again. And we don't do that. We stay in touch with our customers. In fact, we've got a customer appreciation event coming up in a few weeks. And we know that not everyone can come. We've sold 700 plus homes in the last 7 years. Because we know that everyone can't come, like we're just doing a Chick-fil-A pop-up. Come on a Tuesday, get a free Chick-fil-A, and we'll take care of you. But we've rented out places on a Saturday or a Sunday after church where our customers can come. But we want to stay connected with our customers because we want to be their, we want to be their realtor for life. But it's not uncommon that, you know, we say, hey, we're you're walking Rolodexes. You know, you need someone to paint your house. You need a fence person. You need a flooring person. You need a kitchen remodel. We've got them. We want them to call us. And so we let them know, hey, we are your customer, or we're your realtor for life. We want you to be our customer for life. And so we try to create the relationship beyond the transaction, so that once we're done, they want to go out and they say, hey, you got to hire the Kindred team because they're awesome. And if you look at our Google reviews, we've got like 350 plus, and they're all 5-star. Praise God. Let's keep it that way. But they all talk about one of two things: the relationship of the transaction or being involved in the community.
Mm-hmm. So I want to drive this point home about personal brand. Mm-hmm. And the transaction is what it is. I mean, if you're going to transact in real estate, you typically you're well advised to have a well-informed, thoughtful, skilled negotiator, et cetera, someone who's going to make sure that they're looking out for those pitfalls that, you know, what someone might do once or twice or maybe seven times in a lifetime, you're doing that in a week, right? Mm-hmm. So that familiarity, but that's the transaction of real estate in itself. But you touched on the fact that once you build that relationship, the personal brand kicks in where you become that top of mind source of the trusted source. I need a plumber, an electrician, an HVAC guy, yep. Whatever it may be, maybe even a mechanic, and it has nothing to do with any business that you're going to get. But what does happen that I'm hearing is that when they think of something they need, they think of, who do I know who's going to have my best interest in mind? It's going to be Kevin, or it's going to be one of Kevin's colleagues or agents. Mm-hmm. And then when a friend of mine or a family member needs something, I'm going to also refer. And there is the science behind that and an art form behind that.
Yeah. And to your point, I do refer my mechanic a lot, and he actually bought and sold a house with us, and he's referred us business as well. But when I refer anyone, my customers, my friends, people that I don't even know that live in my community, I always say, tell them Kevin Kendrick sent you, because I want them to know, one, where the referral came from, because they may or may not be keeping track of how many referrals I send them, but I am. And then I always text the person and I'll say, hey, by the way, this person is going to be calling you today. I just want to give you a courtesy heads up. In fact, this morning I even called one of my mortgage lenders and I said, hey, this girl is going to be calling you today. And he said, she's already reached out and they're speaking at 4 p.m. today. But I want him to know that it came from me, because whether they're the roofer, the plumber, anyone, if they know that, hey, they're getting referrals from me, Kevin Kendrick, Kevin Kendrick, Kevin Kendrick, Kevin, and that's what we want. Then when it comes time to, they're the plumber, they're going into the home and they got to fix a sink. Well, hey, why do you have me fixing your sink? Well, because we're going to sell soon. Oh, okay. Have you hired an agent? Because I got this guy, Kevin, who's really good. And you'd be surprised. I've gotten referrals from my plumber, from my carpet cleaner, from my flooring guy, from my roofing guy, from the guy that tints the windows of the cars. But it's because we're referring business and we're very loyal to the businesses that we refer to.
Absolutely. And I'll throw a little something else in there as well. We do the same. I have been asked, and it's interesting, in my community, it's not uncommon for a realtor to say, I'll give you a referral, but I want a piece. And we have never done that. We have never done that, not once. The piece that you're getting is, I'm going to take care of your client. I'm going to ensure that they get the best representation. I'm going to ensure that that on my part, I do absolutely everything to do to protect their interests. And by the way, that's going to ensure that your trade closes, right? That's the reward you get. You're not getting the kickback. So,
and we don't get kickback. And I tell people, I said, we don't get kickbacks or anything like that from anyone that we refer. What we do is, because you heard me mention community earlier, is we do a lot of community events. Like, we have a big Father's Day event coming up soon, and I look for sponsors. And of course, who am I going to look for? I'm going to call my plumber. I'm going to call my electrician. I'm going to call those guys, because guess what? Even by them sponsoring the event, it offsets my costs. But at the end of the day, I want my plumber to come and interact with 150 men. I mean, why would you not? If I'm a plumber and I can, it's going to cost me $250. To go to a taco and tequila event to meet 150 guys and hand out my business card, that's a win-win. He's going to make his 250 back tenfold, if not more so.
That's better than putting it in the local paper or something that's got a 1% return on investment, right?
So. Well, and think about it. If we're the community leaders, which we say we are, it is beyond real estate, and I'm standing up and I'm saying, hey, this is not just the sponsor, but this is my plumber. This is my electrician. This is who I use. Kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, that creates that sense of validation to the community if there's already that built-in trust, which over the course of 7-8 years we've earned in Southeast Orlando and in Lake Nona. So I never ask for anything back. It's crazy. I've referred so much business to my painter that when I painted my house, he did it for free. And I didn't ask him. He just said, there's no way. He said, there's no way I can charge you. He goes, you've changed my life, because we refer him 7 to 10 deals a month. And he painted my house for free. And I mean, I tipped his guys and I was very thankful for free, but I didn't ask for it. I would have paid him fair value.
Phenomenal. So I want to take what we're talking about here, and it is phenomenal. We're going to come back to it in just a second. But we live in an interesting time, and I don't think anybody can. It doesn't matter what state you live in. Doesn't matter which way it leans, red, blue, or otherwise. Makes no difference. Every single one of us in the country went through the last 3 years in some way, shape, or form. Lives were changed. Some tragically, some there was a silver lining for, and there was great opportunity. We want to talk about that.
Yeah.
But let's talk about fad versus fundamentals for a second, because the industry of real estate certainly has seen the pressure, the impact and influence of technology. We've seen things like online or apps that suggest that AI or some other form of technology is going to replace the value of a broker. Why pay a commission when you can pay a flat fee? All sorts of different things have come into the fray. I have a slant. I'm going to be blunt. I know what I'm thinking. I know what my research has told me, but I'm not going to project that onto you. I want to hear from you. What has the impact been? What have you noticed? And what are you predicting?
Well, so look, I think the AI stuff is crazy. I mean, when I say crazy, I don't mean it in a bad way. Like, it's just mind blowing that, you know, I can go on to AI and I can say, you know, write an article about EXP and it'll spend out a 5-paragraph essay specific and literally writing everything that I want it to write or what I want to know. So it's crazy. I do think that AI has a place in real estate. There's people out there saying that AI is going to replace real estate agents. It's going to replace accountants and all. I don't believe that. And I think that there's a place for every business to implement AI in some capacity that can help alleviate what I'm already doing. So just a good example, if I'm listing a home and let's just say it takes me an hour to write a description for the home, I can put the key elements into this home, into this AI, and it can spit it out in seconds. And so now it's going to save me time. But AI will not replace real estate agents. And I stand by that 100%. I do think that the agents who adapt in some capacity, it's going to make their jobs and their lives easier, specifically when it comes to marketing, you know, because you're going to be able to offset that. At the end of the day, I do think that one of the things that has benefited the real estate industry as a whole is our industry's had 4 crashes since the industry began. Okay. Wall Street crashes like every other day. And the real estate industry, it's been very consistent and very constant. Now there's people who are very creative. Like I think we are outside the box thinkers when it comes to creativity, how we've grown our business, how we continue to grow our business. We're very creative. And I think what that's done in our area is it's forced other agents to do the same thing. They have to be creative as well. But we also do the fundamentals. You know, I tell people all the time, I said, if you're not using this thing right here called a phone, you're going to be out of business. And so even though we're creative and we're going to leverage AI, we still got to make phone contacts. And, you know, people are still going to trust the human over an artificial intelligence, at least everyone that grew up watching Terminator movies, you know, that knowing that what happened in that movie chain. And then I think when it comes to like the flat fee broker, you know, a lot of the flat fee brokers, and I don't have anything really negative to say because I don't really know a whole lot about them. But that's all it is you're just paying a fee to put it on the MLS. They're not trying to sell your home. What we offer is, you know, hey, we have a database of buyers in Southeast Orlando. And when we put a home on the market, you know, we actually have a plan. Like we even share that plan with you. Like this is what we're going to do on day 5 days before the listing, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0 grand opening, and what the door knocking is going to look like and the phone calling and the postcards. So we have a plan that we put into place. And I think as agents or as sellers or buyers, they hear about what we do, our plan, they tell other people. So of course, other people want to come in and do that. In our market, Southeast Orlando, there's not a lot of the discount brokers or the flat fee brokerages. They're trusting the humans. And last night I was on the phone with a couple and they wanted us to list their home for a $5,000 flat fee. Now, personally, if it was an easy sale, it probably would have been, you know, hey, I'd rather have my sign in the yard than someone else's. But I also know that the personal situation surrounding that couple, myself and my team, we're going to put a lot more time and energy into that. And so I shared with them the breakdown of commissions, the breakdown of their expenses, and the breakdown of time of me doing it versus the breakdown of time versus them doing it. At the end of the day, they hired us because they said, we like the final number that you gave us. And two, we don't want to spend the time to get that final number because they wanted to do for sale by owner initially. And they realized that after they did the first pictures and a few other things, they realized that they didn't want to do that.
It's an interesting conversation to have, and I've got a number of partners who are in the real estate. They're either agents or brokers, et cetera. And we have this conversation all the time that the thing that hits the headline is that list with me for 1% or list with me for a flat fee or whatever it may be. But when you actually break down that thing that you talked about, which is so powerful, you could have said, no, sorry, and my phone rings all the time. I'm going to go with someone else. But you actually took the time to break it down and someone was going to get the business.
Yep.
What's interesting is that there's the numbers. There's the amount of money you can save versus there's the amount of opportunity you can forfeit or lose. Mm. And there's also the emotional element that kicks in when someone's walking through your home. They don't want to be having the owner breathing down their neck, taking them on the tour. And by the way, when you are sitting at the kitchen table and someone throws a number out there, if it's not a professional, it's going to be emotional. And it's going to be an emotional decision and it's going to cost you tens of thousands, if not more.
Talk about that. Yeah, well, it's funny. I'm probably one of the most even-keeled people when it comes to emotion. Even my wife will tell you, like, she's even like, can you just cry? And that's what when I sit down with people, I was like, you know, look, yes, we want to have the relationship beyond the transaction and we want it to be rainbows and unicorns during the transaction. We want it to be super smooth, but you're not hiring me to have a rainbows and unicorn experience. You're hiring me to get the most amount of money on the sale of your home in the least amount of time possible without leaving a penny on the table. And that statement that I just said, I've been saying for the last 8 years, I said, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you're hiring me to sell your home for the most amount of money in the least amount of time without leaving a penny on the table. And that's what we do. But I will take the emotion out of it. I have no problem taking the emotion out of it. I do want to always empathize if a member of the, the customer is, you know, emotional one way or the other about the process. But that's what I do is we take it because someone has to have the business mindset of it. But there's nothing better than sitting across from a customer, a seller, even a buyer, and they say, we trust you. What is your recommendation? And when we hear that word trust, like that's a huge word. And that's one of the things that we want. We want to get their trust so that, hey, look, if they have competing offers and offer one might be a little bit lower, but it's a better offer than offer number two. And, you know, one person says, hey, we want the higher offer, but I'm sitting here saying, yeah, but the terms are better. It's going to be a lot less headache. For $5,000 more, you can get a lot of headache over here and a lot of stress and anxiety. And over here, it's a cash transaction. It's going to close in 2 weeks. There's no appraisal. They're only going to do a 3-day inspection. So you'll know in 3 days if they're going to stay in or back out, you know, so, we try to break it down and we want to, you know, ultimately, help them guide them to make the right decision for themselves. And if we hear the word trust in between, then that's a good thing. But yeah, the emotion part of it, and I've got agents on my team who are very emotional and they wear it on their sleeve and that's cool. But that's not who I am. I'm very, very tempered and I want to make sure that we make the, you know, help our buyers or our sellers make the best decision for themselves.
How do you convey that when I drive down the road and there are billboards everywhere, there's newspaper ads everywhere, there's postcards everywhere, et cetera. There's a lot of noise out there. You talked about marketing earlier. There's a ton of noise out there.
Yeah.
Who's got the best photographer putting up their photo, their portrait from 10 years ago when they looked much different? Who's got that one liner? You know, we see all the time on the billboards, thinking of buying or selling, call me. I'm like, well, fantastic. You just told me the same thing that every other realtor can tell me. How do you differentiate yourself before the person's even met you?
So our branding and our marketing is a little bit different. It's kind of like Shrek, you know, where they talk about onions, when Shrek's having that conversation with Donkey and he's like, you know, okay, ogres are like onions, right? There's layers and we got to peel it back. So we do our best to track our transactions, but there's a lot of layering that goes on. We have a huge social media presence. We're getting almost 200,000 impressions a month on our social media channels in Southeast Orlando. And to put it into perspective, if we're getting 200,000 impressions, just under, there's 2 million people in the Orlando area. So that means we're touching 10% of the population on a monthly basis. And but we make sure that we are anywhere and everywhere. Today, I'm not wearing a Kendrick team shirt. I'm wearing a Lake Nona Lions football shirt because in my community, all the teenagers go to Lake Nona High School. So I'm either wearing a Kendrick team shirt, an EXP shirt, or a Lake Nona shirt, because I'm branded and my agents do the same thing that when they go out. And but we are all over social media. We are at all the schools. We go into the schools and feed the teachers. And guess what? Then we take those pictures and we put them on social media. We leverage video, and we don't leverage video of the sense of, hey, here's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home, you should buy this. No, we're doing video where we're promoting the businesses within the community. You know, earlier you heard me talk about Florencio, the owner of the Peruvian restaurant. And he owns multiple restaurants. Well, I got to know him because I did a video highlighting his restaurant when he first opened up in Lake Nona 5 years ago. And we've been highlighting his restaurants ever since. And the so we leverage video that we promote the small businesses. In fact, we call ourselves the champions of the small businesses in Southeast Orlando. So, you know, we mentioned Target earlier. There's no Target in our community, but you wouldn't probably catch Kevin in a Target or a corporate type owned store. I would rather go to a smaller franchise owned or mom and pop type store than going to a super Target center or super Walmart or Lowe's or anything like that. So we just kind of put our branding anywhere and everywhere. And it's funny. So like in the cars that the elementary schools, they have the little car tags that the parents put over the mirrors. And so we didn't do it last year, but 2 years ago, every single elementary school, they had the car tags. And on the front, the school would write the kid's name. And on the back, it had a picture of me and my wife with all of our contact information. So in school in Orlando is 180 days. So for 180 days, if a parent picked up their kid in the car, they looked at our face every single day. Cost us about $500 per school, 5 elementary schools. So it cost us $2,500. We got 3 transactions out of that, about $3 million in sales volume. We probably made about $100,000 on the $5,000 or $2,500 investment. So we just put ourselves everywhere, and there's no such thing as a bad. We've literally even had our advertisements in the bathrooms so that if you're a man standing at a urinal, you're probably looking at an ad at a bar, local bar in Lake Nona. Or if you're a lady sitting on the toilet doing your business and you look up, you might see a picture of my wife and I. But there's no such thing as bad advertising. As long as you do it well, and you do it, you know, you run your business with honesty and integrity. And that's what we like to do. And to your point about buying and selling, the one thing that I think we've differentiated on, because we do have a few of those ads that say, if you're interested in buying or selling, and I don't like that term, but we have to use it. But what we've put underneath it is a name you can trust. And so, because we want them that when they think of Kevin and Yvette Kendrick or Richard Abar or Kim Gordon or any of the members on our team, we want them to say, oh, that's the team we can trust to sell our home. Or they're the team that we can trust to help us buy a home because they're going to do it right. And so we put in that little slogan in at the bottom. And that's not a name that we came up with as a slogan just to throw it up there. That's a name that we've heard from our reviews multiple times year over year for the last 7 years. And we're like, why aren't we putting that on a banner or a billboard? And so that's what we use to kind of differentiate.
So I want to dive a little bit deeper into that, if you will. There is so much to get licensed as a realtor. I don't know what your exact number of days were in studying the courses, et cetera, but sort of, okay, congratulations, I'm a realtor. I have my license. I have my certificate, and I can align myself with a broker or a mentor or someone to teach me the ropes. But everything that we've actually been talking about for the last, I don't know, half hour or longer, actually has very little to do about the real estate transaction itself.
Right.
And that's not something that gets taught. So we see a lot of the time, realtors out there, they're switching, you know, 1 year they're with this brand, the next year with the next brand, the next year with the next brand. Because why? Well, because there was something wrong with the last brand, right? It's always the other guy's fault.
Right.
The vetting process about bringing on people to represent your brand. You talked about you're either wearing a Lion t-shirt or you're wearing an EXP jersey or something like that, something to do with Lake Nona, something that is significant with and impactful within the community. As someone who's out there where it's your personal brand, you're not afforded the luxury of having an off day where you go out looking like a slob, or you go out sort of, oh, I only have to show integrity when the camera's on, and right. I can be the other side of me when no one's looking. Talk to me about the vetting process of the people that you want to surround yourself and bring onto your team.
So I heard a guy speak a long time ago, and I was a single agent at the time, and it was a mastermind on teams, and that question was brought up: who do you determine? Who do you choose to be on your team? And I'll never forget the phrase. And he basically said, "I don't want to work with assholes." And and that phrase stuck with me. And it has. And there's a lot of amazing realtors in Southeast Orlando or even Orlando that say, "Hey, man, Kevin, I'd love to come and work for you." And I go, "Man, I personally like you, but you're also kind of a jerk, you know, and I can't have that because you're representing, you're a reflection of us." And so I've actually removed myself from the hiring process. So I'm always going to meet with someone first, but I don't have the final say. And, you know, because we're a team of 15, my wife and someone else sits in on the interview process with the agents. And like I said, initially it's me. You know, and then I'll go to them and say, "Hey, I found someone that I like." And then they dig, you've said it a few times. Let's go a little deeper. They're the ones that are going to go deeper. Because I'm looking more at their skill set and how can they help our team. And they're digging deep to say, "Hey, is this a match?" Because when we had Dr. Linda Travolu, our John Maxwell coach, she took us through Patrick Lencioni's The Working Genius. And when we did our Working Genius test, she's like, "Man, you guys are a well-balanced team. You guys are, you guys work well together," which we do. And so, for us, it's, we want to find people that believe in our vision, and we want to find people that aren't jerks in the process. And because when they do go out there, we want them to be a reflection of, wow, there was something happening in Lake Nona, and we saw members of Kevin's team there, and they were doing the right thing. And versus, man, there was a fight at a restaurant, and one of the guys on Kevin's team. So we don't want that either. So it's just, I think a lot of it's just diving deep. But I also think it's too, another thing with our team that's unique to a lot of teams is we like to do stuff together. Like last night I had dinner with one of our agents and her husband. And so, and in the day we did our team event. So we do stuff together. And so I think there's a lot of, hey, that's going to rub off on one another that, when we have the new people come on that, hey, we're a high integrity, high character team, and we always want to do the right thing. And I think that rubs off onto the new team members when they come on board.
So speaking of rubbing off and all that kind of stuff, when people come on board, it is about personal relationships. I think it's a fair argument to say that we live in a changing world that's gotten a little bit interesting over the last few years. We've gone through the pandemic. Absolutely. We're going into a leadership race for the president, for the next presidential election, et cetera, which seems like it's always happening. You've got the governor of the state of Florida has definitely drawn some lines in the sand when it comes to education, when it comes to beliefs, when it comes to influence, when it comes to, you know, sort of the type of ideology that's been penetrating nationally and certainly has an influence state by state. You've also got things like hurricanes that have kicked in. You've got economic shifts and things that have had an impact. All that has an impact on everybody's individual lives, households, ideology. I'm picking up and leaving from one state to move to another state because of ideology and political interference or persuasion, et cetera. How does that impact the actual real estate market, the economy? I remember it wasn't so long ago. I was driving down, I think it was the 95 towards Miami, if I'm right on my numbers. And I was seeing sometime around 2009, literally nailed into the side of a new build subdivision, basically said, buy one, get one free. Right. Yeah. That was the point where the economy was just, you know, in a real state of desperation for builders being extended and not having the capital necessarily to pull through. You've got a hurricane or a series of hurricanes that went through and took out all of the available inventory because people who lost their homes and needed to have renovation, they were moving into the available homes, et cetera.
Right.
Talk to me about these changes in economy and ideology and politics. How does that shape and mold your business?
Yeah. So we don't really talk politics openly a lot, but I will say I am a student. I'm a political science major. I love politics and I watch all the news channels. I read all, cause I want to get both sides of both. And I'll say this, like when it comes to Florida real estate and even Orlando real estate, and there's a lot of things that Governor DeSantis has done specifically, you know, in education and people that I don't agree with. But when COVID hit, he saved our state. And I can't even imagine the other guy that lost if he was our governor during the time. Because we probably would have been completely shut down and locked down. And because Governor DeSantis was very much, he shut down initially because that's what the president told him to do. And at the time when DeSantis and Trump were buddies, you know, he did exactly what Trump told him to do. But when he had the opportunity to open up, he opened up. And he basically said, hey, look, we're a free state. This is what we're going to do. And because of that, people started fleeing the states like California, Midwest, Chicago, Milwaukee, and New England. And what we've seen is, look, the real estate market could crash nationally tomorrow. And I am not worried about the real estate market in Orlando or Southeast Orlando, Lake Nona, where I live. People are moving here on a daily basis from all over the world. They're coming, they're choosing to come to Florida, they're choosing to come to Orlando, and they're choosing to come to Lake Nona. My area is known as Medical City. It's very innovative. It's very health conscious. We've got the largest VA hospital on the East Coast. We've got the largest children's hospital on the East Coast. And then on top of that, we've got the United States Tennis Association National Headquarters here. And, you know, so there's a lot of things happening in my community that if the market crashed, we're still going to sell homes and we still have people moving here on a regular basis. And so, you know, when we talk about the political side of it, look, our current president, if we go to war with Russia tomorrow, that's going to have a major impact on the real estate industry across the board. We could get a new president in 2024 who could do the exact same thing. So I do think it's, you know, it's important to take a look sometimes at our politicians and say, you know, it's okay. I don't agree with Governor DeSantis on a lot of things. But economically he's kept our state thriving. And I've benefited from that. And I'll admit that. But I also know that the other guy that didn't win, probably would have been a hot mess and we probably would have been quarantined and we would have probably been no different than what California was during, with no disrespect, you know, cause some people in California, maybe they felt that was the best thing for them. But I know a lot of people in my community, they were ready to get back to work. They wanted their kids back in schools. The mental health of the kids was, I mean, we saw it firsthand with our boys. You know, people were ready. And so from a local perspective, or at least a state perspective, we saw that happen with Governor DeSantis. And so but as far as the economics, I think he's kept our state open. And so he's now in his second term. So, he was just reelected. And so we have him for at least 2 more years, unless he wins the presidency. Well, we got him for at least 3 more years, unless he wins the presidency. So.
It's an interesting time to be alive, and I am seeing the migration. I am seeing the shift. Whether you call it polarization, we will see. It's certainly not confined to the U.S. It's certainly a global conversation that's being had. I think it really is telling. But some of the things that you talked about shutting down or education system, one of the things that we have seen that has actually come out of this through the catalyst of technology, because as the world really shut down, it really forced a lot of larger organizations and institutions to switch their tune from "it's not possible, this is the way we've always done it, so this is the way we're going to keep doing it" to "oh wow, we're going to actually do whatever it takes to make things happen." So thanks to technology, fiber, things like Zoom, the conversation that we're having right now, the last 3 years plus really did see what was not possible become possible.
Right.
We've actually shifted your brokerage's focus and your team to join a brokerage that embraced the cloud, that embraced virtual. Talk to me. Was that just coincidental, or was there some planning behind this shift that you made?
It was really out of the blue, to be honest with you. We didn't expect to make the change. I mean, we've been talking to other brokerages. I was very happy at KW, Keller Williams, had a great 7-year run. And but for me, and for our team and my wife and the people that were on our team, the one thing we really lacked was specific to our area, not Keller Williams as a whole, but specifically out of our office. We just lacked, you know, our business grew so quickly during COVID that we went from selling $20 million in 2019 to $40 million to $72 million to $80 million, and no one really came by. And we were literally working at that point. There was just 4 of us, and we were working 15, 16, 17, 18 hours a day, and no one really came alongside of us and said, "Hey, this is how you need to manage your business, or this is how you hire, or this is how you do this." And it was actually people from EXP that did. And ironically, we were friends. We just go out to dinner once a month. And, you know, when I look back on our 2021 year, and I think that was the year we sold $70 million, what was previous hiccups in the road weren't hiccups because of the people at EXP that we were introduced to. They were the ones that kind of helped us navigate that. Now, I will say one thing I love about EXP that I learned, and the cloud model's great. I like that. But I still went out and rented my own office for our team. But I love the fact that it's very entrepreneurial. In my previous brokerage, it was all about buying long-term rentals, which we bought long-term rentals. I have nothing against long-term rentals. But as soon as that, before I was even talking to people at EXP, they're like, so what companies are you investing in? How many Airbnbs do you own? How many of this have you done? And so it's very entrepreneurial, like, you know, that Keller Williams, and I say all this with all due respect, because once again, I had a great career at KW, and I always say Keller Williams changed my life. But I also say EXP is going to change my kids' lives and my grandkids' lives. And but when I was at Keller Williams, I felt like I was a real estate agent. And at EXP, I'm a real estate agent. I'm sorry, at EXP, I'm an entrepreneur that uses real estate as a platform to generate not just short-term and long-term income, but also passive income. And not just passive income for me and my wife, but passive income that's going to be passed on from generation to generation. And so I definitely feel like the entrepreneurial mindset at EXP is something that I was attracted to. And definitely just in the last 18 months that since we've been with EXP, we've invested in businesses. My wife and I are in the process of getting ready to buy Airbnbs. If we are in the capital of the short-term rental market right here in Orlando. And so we want to be able to do that. And so that was part of it, the move from Keller Williams to EXP. I will say, I miss the people at KW. I loved going into the office, and we built a lot of great relationships. And I'm very thankful that many of them, we were able to remain friends through the transition and co-broke together and hang out and have a beer together.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, and I appreciate your humility. I also appreciate you, giving credit where credit is due. Only a higher power knows if you'd been ready to go from where you were pre-Keller Williams straight into an EXP mindset as well. I'm sure that there was personal development that allowed you to make that transition the way you did. So thankful for where you are. It's awesome. Question for you, and I like to ask this one because I'm going to put you on the spot right now. If there was one thing that you could do to change the world.
Oh, wow. Honestly, I'm going to give you a speech that I've said a few times, and my answer is going to be financial literacy. Okay. And so we run a mastermind in Lake Nona, and we average between 100 and 150 agents or people attend on a monthly basis. Me and Richard, one of my business partners, we've taught before, and I ask everyone in the room to stand up. Let's everyone stand up. If you don't know who your mom and dad are, you were adopted, sit down. Very rarely do we have anyone sit down. If you don't know your grandparents, sit down. Very few people sit down. If you don't know the names of your great-great-grandparent or your great-grandparents, sit down. Probably about a third of the room to half the room sits down. And then I say, if you do not know the names of your great-great-grandparents, sit down. And almost every single time, there's either zero people standing or one person left standing. And what I tell them is, of course I got to get the mojo going because you're getting passionate. The reason why you don't know your great, great grandparents' names is because they didn't do anything for you. They didn't leave you a spiritual legacy. They didn't leave you a financial legacy. They left you nothing. All they did is pass their seed on so that eventually you were born. They did nothing for you. And if you ask my wife, and you ask me, my great, great grandkids, they will know our names because we are going to pass down a financial legacy to them that they are going to say, hey, look, I have X, Y, and Z because my great, great granddaddy and great, great grandmommy, they did this for me back in the early back in the 2020s. And so, and we want to do that. And, we now have an 18-year-old soon to be freshman at the University of Florida. And I've sat down and I've talked to him already. And it's neat because our boys have been part of our journey in our real estate business. And I told him, I said, you have an opportunity in Florida. You can have one primary residence per year, which means I said, Brandon, I said, in 4 years of college, you could have four houses. You can graduate college with four houses. And most people probably aren't even thinking that. But my 18-year-old is. And I told him, I said, we're going to go into business together. And we're actively looking for homes in Gainesville, where the University of Florida is located, so that he can buy his first house at 18. We learned that it's not a hack, but we learned the loopholes. We added him to our credit card, which now means he's getting our credit history. So when his credit history shows up, he's going to be in the high sevens. He should be a 770, 780, 790 at 18 years old. We're going to be able to be co-signers, but he's a primary resident co-signer, which means he's going to be able to homestead it, be the primary resident on an FHA loan, and get a lower interest rate versus if I were to buy it at an investor's rate, which would probably be around 7.5% to 8%. And so he can do that every single year for the next 4 years. And now we've already begun teaching our 18-year-old the power of real estate at such a young age that I did not learn. I'm 50 until the last 5 years. And so I've learned one thing, and I think I shared with you, I'm a former history teacher and history buff. And I say this every once in a while. I always say life, liberty, and the pursuit of what?
Happiness.
But that's not what the original intent was for the founding fathers. And that's what everyone thinks. Because let's be real, the founding fathers didn't care if you were happy or not. Right. The initial intent was life, liberty, and the pursuit of property. And the reason why it was the pursuit of property is because they never had the opportunity to buy property in England, mm-hmm. Scotland, Ireland, Germany, Spain, because all of that was willed down from generation to generation to generation to generation. So let's be real. They changed it at the last second because they still felt like, hey, you got 3/5 compromise, you know, you got slaves, you got women, we can't really do the pursuit of property. But that was the original intent. The original draft was pursuit of property. And real estate is a tool to generational wealth. And my parents and grandparents did not teach that to me. And I don't know my great-grandparents' name or my great-great-grandparents' name, but we're teaching it to our children now. So what would I do? Financial literacy, but also the power of real estate, and learn these hacks now. So that when you're 18 years old or your kid turns 18, that they can buy their first property and have a primary residence until they're ready to settle down. And all of a sudden they look back and they have 10 homes generating passive income for the rest of their lives.
I think this is a perfect segue to say, first and foremost, I'm so glad I asked you the question. I'm thankful for the answer. That is that you had me sort of just hanging on every word there, really about what going full circle, what is the purpose of our life and the impact? How will we measure the impact that we had? What will we have done with the time, our time on this planet? And leaving a legacy certainly is something that each of us, if we sit down and think about it, you know, what do I want on my tombstone? What do I want in between the dashes on the tombstone? But yeah. You know, that legacy is so powerful. Kevin Kendrick of the Kendrick team at eXp Realty in the Orlando area of Florida, Lake Nona in particular. I appreciate your time with me today on Think Underground. And I will tell you, we started the conversation with you as an educator and really transitioning into the world of entrepreneurship through real estate, as you mentioned, as a vehicle or as a tool. And I think that we wrapped up the conversation approximately an hour later, Kevin Kendrick, as an educator, utilizing real estate as a tool. And I'm thankful for your time with me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I appreciate you asking deeper questions than normal, because normally we just get, how did you sell 150 homes? You know, and so I appreciate that. I think it's neat for people to understand the why behind the what.
Oh, I appreciate it as well. And I look forward to an opportunity to meet you when I'm back down in the area in a couple of months from now. And I look forward to shaking your hand in person. And I look forward to picking up this conversation where we left off. So I wish you all the best. Fantastic success, and look forward to seeing you again.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Think Underground is a SIVA Creative Incorporated production, written and hosted by Arif Khan, produced by Breck Glover, with production assistance by Samantha Bowman, Cody Fitzgerald, William Gibson. Music courtesy 1M1 Music, directed by Arif Khan. Executive producers Mallory Steele and Arif Khan, created by Mallory Steele.